This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Tonight, I want to speak to you about overcoming in a day of deception. And I believe that the Word is going to speak to us. I know that this is a Word that the Holy Spirit has given to me, and I'm going to trust that He will speak it to your hearts and minister to you in a very real way tonight. Open with me tonight in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now, Father, I thank You that You do want to say something tonight. There's been an incredible joy in Your house, and that is such a marvelous confirmation that You are pleased to be here, Lord. We have this assurance tonight that our God is in the midst of us. You're the one that gave us the joy. You're the one that gave us the impetus to pray. And now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that You would take Your Word and You'd speak it into our hearts the way that only You can. I can't put weight to this Word. I can speak it, but the weight comes from Your glory, from Your presence. And what we need more than anything in this hour, in this generation, is something that carries Your weight, that carries the burden of Your heart. Now speak to us, Lord, at the crossroads of the world. Speak to us in this godless city, that You would come and meet us one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus speaking to His disciples, and it's very clear and very evident, and I'll show this to you in chapter 18, verse 1. He's speaking to His disciples. For the English language, they have broken up the Bible into chapters and verses. It's actually a flowing text. The writer is just continuously writing out the thoughts that God has on his heart. But it's divided for the purpose of our learning and for our reference. As we can say to you, turn to chapter 18. It's not that there was 18 chapters or more in the book of Luke. We put them in there for this purpose of reference. But at this particular juncture in the communication of Christ, we see that He speaks a parable, and we know that He's speaking to His disciples, and like I said, I'll show that to you a little later on. And He said to this end that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, Jesus is concerned that there would come a time, and that in the lives of His disciples, that they would enter into a time of fainting, a fainting spell. Now, I know firsthand what a fainting spell is like, not because I fainted, but my wife fainted. I remember years ago, we were just 14 years old, and I'd taken a razor blade and I'd cut her initials into my arm and I'd put India ink into the blood. And so I've got her initials to this day in my arm. So I told her, and I said to her, I need to put my initials in your arm. She agreed to this ridiculous thing. And so I remember taking her arm and squeezing the skin nice and tight and making sure I didn't cut a vein or anything, but I took the razor blade and I cut into her arm Well, it wasn't deep. But all I made was one cut and she fainted. I couldn't finish putting my initials in, so every now and then we just take a look to see the little scar of one little cut to remind us at 14 how silly we were. But she fainted. Fainting is that sense of, it's that loss of being in control of what you are and what you're doing. It's that loss of being able to think. It's passing out. And Jesus comes to his disciples and he has got this concern in his heart that there's a day that would soon come upon the church age where there would be a people who would begin to faint concerning the things of God. That as soon as he began to put a slight pressure on, that there would come this fainting in the body of Christ. It would be a paralysis. It's that sense of feeling that you've lost control, that loss of strength to continue. And beloved, the word that God put on my heart is that there's so many today. You read in the Old Testament that people began to faint regarding the things of God. They began to become faint on being so committed. As soon as pressure comes on, they were busy building their own houses. They left the work of God. They no longer considered it something to give them their whole heart towards. And this is the concern of Jesus at this particular time with his disciples. He said that men, and in the original language it means them, talking to his disciples, he said, he's talking to them and he's saying, there's coming a time when you are going to become faint in mind concerning the things of God. That you, and it's a deception of the enemy, that no longer would you be so preoccupied and held captive by the demands of the Holy Ghost on your life. That there would come a time when no longer your heart would be so given to the things of God that you would sell everything for Him. And He says, I'm concerned that this day and this time of fainting is coming and will be upon the church age, where people will give up on thinking that they should be at the house of the Lord. Some people, when they first got saved, would be in the house. At every time the door opened, they would be in the house of God. I remember when I first got saved, and so on fire for Jesus. I came out of drug culture. I came out from smoking marijuana and doing LSD and riding motorcycles and living for myself. And out of that subculture of the hippie movement, I got saved. Born again, born again. Every waking moment that I had, I was in the house of God. I remember sitting on the very front row. I would come in and put my Bible down on that front row. It was my seat. I was there all the time. When the pastor said, does anybody have a testimony? Up my hand would go. It was a smaller congregation, and on Sunday nights they would ask for, we used to have testimony night. And my hand would be up every single Sunday night. Doesn't this kid have any, has he lost all of his, has he used up all of his testimonies? Never. Every night. And I used to feel people behind me thinking, 3 more minutes now, his hand is going to go up. And another testimony, manufactured testimony, is going to come out of him. I felt it, and I never disappointed them. Such was the fire in my soul for Jesus, who took me out of a subculture and put me into the real culture called being born again. Hallelujah. But we get faint. We begin to faint on God. A year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and we begin. It almost seems that each given year we go a row back. The first year we're on the front row, the second year on the second row, the third year on the third row, and so on until we're in the back row. And see, this is what Jesus is talking about. He says that there is a deception that's going to come upon the mind of believers that you cannot live out of the power and the life of Jesus Christ for the long haul. That when you first got saved, that was a season. I want to tell you today that I am just as fired up about Jesus Christ today as I was when I got born again. But he is concerned of the fainting in mind. He's concerned that we get faint in mind regarding the house of God, regarding the call of God, that suddenly it's passé. And this, and beloved, I might be extrapolating on this particular verse right now, but it's true. The whole chapter 17 and 18, Jesus is leading his disciples in a course of communication to say to them that there is coming a time when you will begin to become faint in mind concerning the things of God. And we start giving up on meetings. Well, it's okay now just to come to one meeting once a week. What happened to every time the doors opened? One meeting once a week. Now, this isn't a heavy. This is, I'm not trying to put condemnation on you to try to get you to come out to more services, but I'm talking about the concern that Jesus had on his heart for his disciples. He said, if you don't watch, there will come a fainting in your heart and mind where you will begin to think, oh no, another service. Oh wow, I got to go to church. I'm tired. Emotionally, I'm wore out. I don't want to go to another service. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about becoming faint in mind concerning the things of God. He's directly dealing with this. And this is exactly the purpose and the work of the enemy. To cause and to create in the heart of men and women this sense of giving up. So he uses a parable. And this is the parable that he uses. He uses a... You've got to understand the brilliance of what Jesus is doing here. He says you ought to always pray and not to faint. Don't get into that place where you begin to get faint in mind, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow. Now look at the person that he has selected in this parable to use. It's very interesting, and I think the brilliance of it is to illustrate to us in this church age what the person who God is going to use, look what this person looks like. Take a look at this individual. This is a parable that he's using. He says there was a widow. A widow. Well, she's lost her husband. Doesn't know, the Bible doesn't say how, in this parable, how old she is, but you get the sense that this woman had lived some years with a husband. He probably took care of the finances. Worked hard. And for whatever reason, he died. And now she's a widow. She no longer has the support of the strength of this person called her husband. She was married. Everything was going great. Everything was going fine. I'm sure that she had thoughts of retirement and going on with her husband into this time of retirement, just doing so well. But Jesus is specific, and he talks about this woman who's a widow. Now, you get the intimation that she could be an older person. Doesn't say it, but you get the sense that she's an older person. And so we see this widow, this individual, who now doesn't have the resources with which to fight any kind of battle that comes along. The Bible goes on to say, there was a widow in the city, so she's dwelling right inside of a place like Manhattan. She's living in the city, it's a live-in city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. So here is a woman. Now listen, this is Jesus giving a parable. He's just said to his disciples, there's going to come a time that the possibility of you getting faint in mind concerning the things of God is going to come. It's coming. But I want to show you the kind of person that gets answers from God. Here is a woman, a widow, no husband, destitute, no income coming in, harassed, maybe held hostage by a landlord, an unrelenting landlord. The Bible doesn't say what the adversary is here, but it's an enemy of a soul. And so Jesus is saying that, and remember, this is a parable about fainting. Keep that in mind. It's about fainting and coming wary in mind concerning the things of God. That's what he's talking about. That there's coming a time in a generation where you're going to get so faint concerning the things of God. So here's this widow woman. He's specific in the design of this parable. Unable to fend for herself. How many women do we have in this live-in city, equal in equal standing and situation, where they have an adversary called a lousy landlord? Held captive, hostage. Do you know there's hundreds of single women, thousands of single women, either widowed or single parents, who are absolutely held hostage in New York City today. Held captive by some lousy landlord who's unrelenting. By some tenement super who imposes his will on how you live. Captive, held. And so here Jesus is saying, remember, you're getting, there's a possibility you're going to get faint in mind. So take a look at this woman. She has nothing. She's got this situation where she's got no income. She can't go and get the best lawyer in town and fight her case. And that's the case of so many people today. You don't have the resources. If you go to try to fight this thing in the law courts, you are appointed somebody. And they don't care about you because you're not going to put a nickel in their pocket. And so you've got this incredible difficulty. And this is what Jesus is illustrating, that there's going to be times that this life that you're called to live in this generation may look like a time of incredible difficulty. It may look like you are abandoned. You see, the call of God is so specific. It's so single-eyed on Christ. When He saves us to get a single eye focused on Him and Him alone. And this is the story of this woman. He says, this is the purpose. This is why I'm giving you the parable. You are going to get faint in time. There are going to be things that are going to come against you. You're going to get so faint in your mind. But the real call of God is like a widow woman. Where it looks like it's a tough life. You see, can you see the parable unfolding now? As Jesus begins to say, this walk that you have looks like it's very tough. It looks like there's no resources. This widow woman doesn't have a single resource with which to fight any kind of a battle. And yet, in this parable, we see that she goes to this judge. She's unrelenting. And the purpose of the parable is simply this. In verse 6, the Lord says this, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge? So the unjust judge talks about avenging. He's going to give you your answer. He's going to give this woman an answer. So he's bringing this thought into play here. And he says in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, the Christian walk looks tough. The parable of somebody who doesn't look like They've got every means with which to fight their battles for them. This is the parable that he's using. A destitute woman. No means at all. He goes on to say, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The whole point that Jesus is saying is that the battle for your faith is going to intensify. It's going to increase more and more. And the enemy is going to be so subtle that this deception is designed by hell itself to rob you of a faith in these last days to believe God, who can avenge you on everything that you have need of in your life. That's the subtlety of the attack. And this is what Jesus is talking about. But he brings it back to the reality of these disciples, where he says to them, I want you to take a look at this woman. The one thing, whether the Christian walk is that which is singular, it looks like you've got no way or means of avenging yourself in any form or fashion like this widow woman. I want you to understand that when the world looks at this woman, it looks like she's got nothing on her side. No resources at all. But he's telling us today, well, wait a minute, devil. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You think she's got no resources? I want to tell you today that the resource that this woman had and has, called the Church of Jesus Christ, it might be singular, it might be hard, it might be taxing on your mind, there might be an adversary, but and it looks like you've got no resources. That's what the devil will tell you. There's no end to this. Why serve God any longer? It's taxing your mind. You want to faint and there's no resources. But I'm telling you today, I serve sentence on the devil. You say there's no resources? God says, I want you to know that there is a resource in heaven called God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She had God as her resource. She had Almighty God as her resource. And she said, I don't care, devil, you can come against me from every side. You can jingle your coins in your pocket. You can send that lousy super. You can put that horrible person against me. But I'm telling you, I'm going back to one where all resource of heaven resides. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one resource in heaven. That's Almighty God. Don't let the devil trick you. Hallelujah. Oh, getting faint in your mind. I'm going to show you what fainting in your mind is. I'm going to show you the subtlety of the enemy, because he wants to take you away from this one resource that the Church of Jesus Christ has. It's our only resource, beloved. And that's the power of Almighty God. When people call on his name, he avenges us speedily. Hallelujah. You lose this faith. You lose this faith. You lose the faith that our God will avenge you speedily, and the devil is winning the battle. But there's the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, it looks singular. It looks hard. It looks tough. That's why he's using this. It is tough living in a world when everybody round about you is making more money than you. It is tough. It looks like, and you know what, when you take a look at this, he's leading straight to a man. It's like the disciples are walking. He's sharing this parable. He says, now listen to me. This coming a time in a generation where you're going to start fainting in your mind. What is this fainting? He says, well, let me show you that the Christian walk is singular. It may look tough. It looks like you've got nothing. But you've got everything. Because God will avenge you. That's what he's saying to the disciples. He's telling them, God will avenge you. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get disappointed. Don't get your eyes off. God will avenge you speedily. Hallelujah. Oh, don't faint in your mind at this point. Don't faint. And he leads them directly to a man who's going to show us what fainting in the mind is. And he brings us to a rich young ruler. It's incredible how Jesus meanders right through all this teaching, and he brings them up to this young man. Now listen, in absolutely contrast to the widow woman, who's older, who's going to hire her? She doesn't have any money. It's a tough life. Externally, it's hard. Oh, captivating the mind. And in contrast to that, here is a young man, full of strength, vitality, alive, got the world by the tail, self-righteous. You see what Jesus is doing? Bringing him to a person who, in a sense, has got it made in the shade. Got everything he wants. Wealth. All the kind of lawyers. If he's got a problem where he lives, he just hires the best lawyer. And you think, well, he's got it easier. Does he? Here he is, in prime time, full of strength. All the wealth of New York City in his pocket. And yet, when the test comes, and Jesus says, will you give up everything for me? He can't do it. And so Jesus illustrates to the disciples that the fainting in mind is going to come by the pursuit of the things of the world. He says, this is what's going to cause you to faint. These are the things that are going to cause you to be so turbulent on the inside. When the Christian walk is called to be singular, it looks hard on the outside. I got to get up. I got to go to church. I've got to do this. It looks hard. It looks singular. It is. Not that coming to church is hard. But beloved, this is what the world says. And God is saying, when I saved you for a life that is going to be focused on me and me alone. And those are the people that get, that's the faith. That's why he says, will I find faith in the earth when I come? I'll tell you, the people who will have faith when I come is going to be the people like this widow woman who lived, as it were, without resource outside of God. That the only resource in life was God. That's the person, when Jesus comes, that has faith. Is this opportunity to live the singular life. So Jesus begins to illustrate this, and he says in verse 26, he says, this is how fainting is going to come to the mind. Look at verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. So he's telling you, disciples, listen to me. Look how they will. Now, there's nothing wrong in how Noah lived or Lot lived. There's nothing wrong in these things. But if it becomes self-consumption, then you are going to have a battle on your hands that is going to cause you to faint towards the things of God. He says there's nothing. We all have to eat. We all have to live. But listen to what he says. Verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. Now remember, he's talking, look at verse 22. He changes from speaking to people, but just go back to verse 22 and look what he says. It says, and he said unto whom? The disciples. So he's talking to those that he has called, those that he has selected as his bride, those that he has selected out of the world and said, I've chosen you to walk with me. So he's talking about his disciples and he says to them, now listen, I want to show you what's going to come at the last day. And in Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. It looks like life is just going on. And Jesus is saying, this is life. This is how life is. But he brings up Lot's wife. I wish he wouldn't do that. Verse 32. All he says, look at this great verse. Remember Lot's wife. Just remember it. What happened? Was it God being mean because she turned around to look at Sodom and Gomorrah and she turned into a pillar of salt? No. Beloved, that's not what he's saying. The whole context is saying that when you think you're going forward, watch that the devil doesn't cause you to want to turn your head to look at the things that the world is enjoying and say, I want some of that too. That's where the fainting comes in. When your mind and your heart is caught up in wanting to live like the world. He says, it's an adversary. It becomes a battle that rages on the inside. It's an insurrection. David talked about this in Psalm 64 when there were people who were plotting against him. You can read it sometime, Psalm 64. And David is talking about how things were being plotted against him. And it caused this insurrection. In fact, turn with me to Psalm 64. Let me just show this to you real quick. Psalm 64 says, verse 1, it's David, he's crying out, he's saying, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. David is talking about those who plotted against him and created this insurrection. But beloved, this is the work of the enemy. This is what he does. He plants a seed inside of the believer, and that thing becomes an insurrection. It suddenly rises up as an insurrection in your heart. What happened to that devotion to Christ? What happened to that absolute devotion to Christ where you were sold out, burning for Jesus? I'm going to go all the way with God. That's the passion. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The enemy came along and he began to plot against you secretly. And in that secret plotting, if you buy the lie of the enemy, it becomes an insurrection. It begins to rise up and you begin to start struggling with matters that you never struggled with before. All these kinds of things stirring up. Well, that guy, he's got a bigger house than me. And suddenly we start turning and we start figuring out how can we get a better place to live. Not that God says there's anything wrong with it, but when it gets your whole attention, it's going to cause you to begin to faint in the things of Almighty God who's called you to walk singular with Him that you might know a God who avenges against the enemy. So he's talking about those things that begin to cause you to faint. David goes on, they say they wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows. That's what the enemy does. And he shoots bitter words. We're not just talking about people who speak angrily against you. We're talking about the enemy that begins to sow a bitter word into your soul. Oh, serving God is so hard. You know, the other day, we do pray for you. My wife and I, and Pastor Carter, Pastor Patrick, Pastor William, we all pray intently for every one of you in the house. And for those listening by tape, we pray for young pastors all over and pastors of churches all over the world. And I tell you why we are so determined to pray for you, because we understand the plight. We had to go do a funeral in Queens. And so we decided, my wife and I always take her with me, just in case we get attacked and that's not true, I take that back. But we decided that we're going to take the transit to the farthest end of the train, and then we have to catch a bus to go to this funeral. So we got the whole thing planned and plotted out. We went to Google and got the thing all planned and plotted out. We should have just asked somebody who lives there how to do this thing. So here we are. We dressed like this. We're really in a good clothes. And I've got my little black book, you know, of all the ministers, the handbook, and how to do funerals. And we're on the train. And it's going to take us nearly an hour. Combined train and bus. But one thing we found out, that if you use the train and then the bus, you don't pay twice. So it only one cost. It's only $2, and you can use your card again, and it doesn't charge you. So we thought that was a very good thing. But I want to tell you, we traveled the distance, an hour on the train, and both of us, we sat there and we said to ourselves, God, this is probably at least 50% of our congregation gets up on a Sunday, gets on the bus, goes to the train station, kids in tow, gets on the train, and rides to Times Square Church. An hour in, and then church all day, and then an hour home at night. And I tell you, it put a new sense of love in our heart for you who rides the transit. But I want to tell you, even though it may be tough and it may be hard, God has said that the life is singular. Don't start envying in your heart. Don't let the enemy come and begin to put bitter words in your soul. Well, if I only had a car, then I could drive. If only I lived closer. You see, these are the bitter words that the enemy, not that you shouldn't have this, but when you spend your life living for these things, that's when you begin to faint concerning the things of God. When you decide to move out of the city and live out in the country, and then you've got to ride backwards and forwards and get stuck in traffic, it tests everything that is within you. And beloved, this is what Jesus is talking about. Then you start to think, I wonder if I should find a church closer. Maybe we shouldn't go to 3 services. Maybe we just take our time later. Let the first one go and we'll maybe get the second or the third and then go home. You see, this is what the enemy wants, and this is what Jesus is warning. He says, there's coming a time when you will begin to become faint in your mind concerning the things of God. And he goes on to say all these things. David fights this. He says, suddenly they shoot him. Suddenly they come against him. It's an evil matter. It's a deep thing of the heart. That's what he says in verse 6. But look at verse 7 of chapter 64, beloved. You've got to understand, see, this is the call. This is why Jesus reached into that gutter and lifted us out. This is why he called us. Look what he says in verse 7, that when every attack coming against your mind of serving God wholeheartedly, when the devil comes in with bitter words, I wish I had a better apartment, better car, wish I lived closer, wish I had more money, I'll work harder, I'll do this, I'm not going to all the services. These are the things that cause us to faint in our mind. And Jesus is warning about this to his disciples. He says, you've got to be on guard. Watch these things. But David comes up with an incredible thought. He says, now listen, when the enemy comes in and he's attacked you, suddenly you are attacked in your heart. Folks, you can be on your way home on the transit. You think to yourself, I've got these kids, they're crying, they're screaming, they're hungry, they're tired. I've been in church. What good is it being in church all day? It's a bitter word that comes into your soul and the enemy begins to cause you to faint in the things of God. But listen to what David says. But God, in the time of fainting, when the enemy comes in to attack you, David says, I got to tell you, when all hell is coming against my mind, but God says, I'll shoot that thing down. Hallelujah. That's why suddenly coming to the house of God makes sense. Hallelujah. Suddenly getting up and coming and all the attacks of the devil, the Bible says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. Hallelujah. God, wound that evil thought in my heart. Shoot that thing, God. But you get that when you come into the presence of God, when you're in the house of Almighty God, then God gives you a word and he shoots that evil word that the enemy has sown in the heart, beloved. Hallelujah. That's what he talks about the widow woman. You just keep coming back. You just keep going. That's what he is saying. When you want to get faint and give up, remember the parable of the widow woman. Just get up and say, I'm not giving in to that lie of the devil. I'm going back to the one who can avenge me. He'll send a word out of heaven and he'll shoot that thing right in the heart.
every bit of backsliding shot in the heart by God. Beloved, every thought that is contrary to Christ, He shoots it with a word straight from heaven. Bang! And that thing is dealt with instantly, powerfully. Not 10-step programs. No, God gets a word from heaven and He brings it and He shoots that thing into your heart. Gives you hope. Gives you faith. One more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, David says, but God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, listen, I love the language. He says, suddenly in verse 4, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, which means the upright. Suddenly, do they shoot at him and fear not. See, that's the work of the enemy. See, David is using the same tactic. As quickly as the enemy would put a word of discouragement in your heart, so when you come into the presence of God, just as suddenly, God says, you're not going to live. Bang! Just as fast. It takes one word out of heaven to demolish every argument of hell itself. Hallelujah. Whoa. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Bang! Oh, I don't want to get up on the train. Bang! Oh, I'm tired of serving Jesus. Bang! One word straight out of heaven and it demolishes every argument, every attack of hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh. David goes on and he says, so they shall make their own tongue fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. So David says, every lie of the devil will just fall upon himself. You'll recognize the devil a liar and a liar of all lies. That's what it means. It just means turn it around on the devil. That lie you gave just going to fall back on your own head, devil. And then David says, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. Not faint any longer, beloved. They will rise up and declare the work of God. Year in, year out. 35 years later, we are still declaring the work of Almighty God. Every day, a miraculous day. Hallelujah. Ah, that's enough. Glory to God. Oh, glory to Jesus. Pwah. Bang! One shot. Bang! If the devil has lied to you and you want to just say, God, one shot, that's all I need, I'm going to invite you tonight. Just get up out of your seat. You come to this altar. We're going to pray. One shot. Any lie that the devil has got into your heart, every single lie of you, no good, never make it, don't give, you know, give up, don't come back, last service, never do this again, tired of this, I'm all weary, fainting in your mind. Tonight, beloved, this altar is open. Just let's stand together. You can get out of your seats and come to this altar. God, tonight, in one simple prayer, demolishes that argument in the name of Almighty God tonight. Hallelujah. Beloved, raise your hands to heaven tonight. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, the enemy has tried to sow a seed of insurrection against your life inside of me, trying to convince me, give up, don't press on. The very parable was the woman pressed on. God, tonight, I can't demolish any lie of the devil. I have no ability. I am like that widow woman. I can't hire a lawyer to fight this battle in my mind. But I do have an advocate in heaven tonight who fights my battle for me. My advocate His name is Jesus Christ. And your word fights the enemy on my behalf. Lord Jesus, bring swift deliverance to my soul right tonight. In Jesus' name, I receive new strength, new hope, new faith in a mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. Now, Lord, I thank you that they that wait upon the Lord, those who get entwined with God, who choose to be locked up in the life of God, the Bible says they'll soar to new heights. They'll run the whole race and won't get weary. They shall walk the everyday life and they shall not faint. Hallelujah. God, we thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Beloved, just raise your hands. Tell him you love him tonight. Tell him, God, I'm home. I'm home. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in one moment of time, you've demolished the lie of the devil. You've demolished it, broken it down, shut it down. As suddenly as it came in, so you dispersed it. And tonight we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Now give him thanks one more time, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.